Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Chuck Bonnewill, Julie Hayden for the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up.
That's right.
It's the Law and Order Day, it appears to be. I'm not sure that it's Justice Day, but it is Law and Order Day. Michael Avenatti convicted on all counts for bribing Nike to try to get a $25 million payoff for...
So much for that presidential run.
Yeah, that presidential run didn't work out real well, but CNN is a little unhappy about it, but they'll get another amazing jerk.
You know, I wonder,
next.
Well, Andrew McCabe, they already have one.
Well, good point. They got lots of them. They got Clapper, they got Brennan, they got them all.
You know, before we get into that, a couple of things. I want to let you know, Jan Cook with the Colorado Freedom Force is going to be coming up to tell us, like I'm saying, whether we have any rights left at the Colorado legislature anymore. Want to let you know, there are a couple ways you can join the show. We'd love to have you call in. That number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you want to go to zoom.us, you can also join us on the video link too. And when it asks for a meeting number, what you want to give is 209-576-423. That's 209-576-423. I think they also have a link for that on the bbsradio.com website as well. And a couple other things. You can always watch us live by going to chuckandjulie.com, click on the Listen Live link. And if you miss that, you can go ahead and pull up the archives. So you can always listen to us there. We'd love to have you follow us on Facebook. That's easy, Chuck and Julie. And then on Twitter, because I post when the podcasts come up and what we're going to be talking about, that's Chuck and Julie One.
One. Okay.
Chuck and Julie One.
No, there you go.
And you do that one. I messed up our screen.
Well,
so
of course. I'll just talk while you
talk. So don't pay any attention to me while I do this. Okay.
All right. Well, the whole week has been a smorgasbord of the U.S. Justice Department under Barr and the president. The president tweeted out that he was unhappy about the 7-9 years given, recommended for which one of his many ones? I guess it was Flynn.
Lying to Congress.
No, it wasn't Flynn. It was,
Roger Stone.
Roger Stone.
Okay.
Roger
yeah, Stone. So what happened is exactly, so that's just kind of back you up. It's been, like I said, you get whiplash at the Department of Justice today. Good decision, bad decision, good decision, bad decision. I think the deep state corruption set Barr up. So what they did is they briefed the U.S. Attorney General, and they say, we're going to recommend this for Roger Stone's sentencing. Keep in mind, it's a nonviolent thing. It's a process crime, right? And Barr says, okay. Now,
and two, they don't get to do whatever they want. They're employees.
Right,
I mean,
right.
there's a whole hierarchy. They have to, as long as the higher-ups want to know, because they can change it. So they say, okay, we're going to recommend, I don't know, two, whatever they're going to recommend. Then they go, and recommend 7 or 9 and see if they're going to do anything about it.
Right.
And then so Barr goes, oh, this is bad. We got to do something about this. But the president, in the meantime, tweets out about what injustice is. And he said, and it talks about the Justice Department. Justice is always in quotes, which is intentional. But he was upset about it. And then Barr came on, and we just learned today that Barr had asked him various times not to tweet about the cases that quote unquote makes his job impossible. And so the president hasn't said anything about the latest.
Here's what I'm going to say. So let's just go back again, talk about, so here we have a Department of Justice that conspired with other intelligence agencies to make up the whole Russia hoax story to not necessarily the Justice Department, but people in the White House and in the administration who you'd think would be the president's friends are conspiring to make up lies about impeachment, right? That the corruption and the attempts to get rid of the president are just astonishing, right? So you can see why the president is skeptical, right? You can see why the president is skeptical. So then Barr, you know, they do the briefing. I mean, just think of the insubordination going on here. They tell Barr, their boss, and this, Chuck, you were a lawyer. This is fairly common, right?
That was a federal employee.
Right. It's a big case. So the prosecutors handling the case are going to brief Barr, talk to Barr about what they're going to do. And everybody says, okay, that sounds good. And they all go home. And then the very next day, they file something completely outrageous, 9 years in prison. I mean, people who commit violent crimes, murder, or at least manslaughter, don't get nine years in prison.
Well, you hear the liberals say, you know, it's according to the guidelines, everything else. It was not. The guidelines, you can do what they're called mitigating factor, enhancement factors. So if you want to consider Roger Stone at 66 a violent one. He said he was going to get somebody's dog. Nobody believed it.
No,
it,
even
it
was the person whose dogs.
Right. It was, so that's enhanced by 3 times. I mean, you had to do all the enhancers and really trick the system to get to 7 to 9. So they did that because they're corrupt Mueller investigators and prosecutors. Barr's going to do something about it. Trump tweets out, makes Barr look like a fool because it looks like he tweets out, Barr responds, as opposed to it was the opposite. So you understand where Barr is coming from, but you also stand where the president's coming from.
Right.
I mean, the entire Justice Department, all the way through, has become exposed as really, I guess it always was a corrupt.
But they're not even pretending. I mean, again, the insubordination to go to your boss and say, here's what we're going to do, and then to turn around and do something outrageous, forcing him to react, and then allowing the mainstream media, the corporate media, to jump up and down saying, oh, Barr is horrible, 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 now we need to impeach him.
And then all resign en masse.
And then resign, exactly.
Somebody asked, why are 4 senior top-notch prosecutors on this dinky case?
Right.
They don't have any terrorist case. They don't have any mafia cases. They don't have any Mexican cartel cases. This is, you got to put 4 prosecutors on this dinky case?
Yeah.
But of course they do, because that's who they are. So, you know, I see it from both sides partially, but I think you have to understand who Barr is and why it does not bode well for us.
Can we get to the other bad news, good news, bad news part?
Well, I'm not sure it's either good news or bad
news. Well, McCabe. Okay. Yeah. So Andy McCabe.
Right.
So Andy McCabe. So let's go back. So Roger Stone is convicted and they want to send him, the Department of Justice, to prison for 9 years for lying to Congress. Like, number one, oh, that would never happen.
No,
right. I mean, Schiff, he would never lie to anybody. I mean, give me a break. Right. So they're going to send him to prison for 9 years for lying to Congress. Right. Andy McCabe, who did lie to Congress, who the inspector general said lied to us about media leaks.
Three times he lied to the FBI. No, well, the IG came out with a report and they don't ever want to refer people to the to be prosecuted. But they did.
Except
for Comey.
Roger Stone. Yeah.
The IG didn't refer.
The IG. Don't mind me.
Don't mind you. They recommended Comey and McCabe, which is huge, right? I mean, they just don't do that very often. They don't want to. They're institutionalists. So what did the Justice Department do? One, they just quickly threw away Comey and then spent 2 years coming up finally today deciding that, no, we're going to close the case. No problem. Who knows what you did? McCabe had a point of why did it take 2 years? For them to do that. It was obvious from the beginning what it was. They didn't have to do an investigation. All the facts are there. The answer is the same why police investigations on police brutality and killings take years, because they think you're going to forget. They delay, 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 hope everything comes up. And then when it kind of comes to the end, then they kind of go, oh, yeah. Oh, Andy McCabe, you're fine. No problem. But it was a crook from the beginning. They didn't take 2 years because they need to take 2 years.
No, but look at the way they handle that, too. So, again, this morning, Chuck, I was kind of saying, I can see Barr's point. Now I can't anymore. So when Barr is complaining about the president tweeting, Barr also at this time knows that his prosecutors are going to go ahead and recommend no charges be filed against McCabe, which now allows McCabe to go on CNN, which allows everybody to go there and say, vindicated, vindicated, vindicated. The other, though, here's the whiplash. Okay, good news is the same Department of Justice has gone ahead and appointed an outside prosecutor to review the handling of the Michael Flynn case, which looks like that was totally corrupt. Thank God for Sidney Powell for positioning that.
Well, but I don't know why you're so thrilled with that.
I'm not thrilled. I'm just saying.
I mean, as a practical matter, Barr doesn't need another attorney to decide, hey, they set Flynn up. They totally didn't need a lawyer. They didn't go through the White House because they were, too confused. He doesn't need all that to look at that and go, this is a bad prosecution. But the way that Barr works, he's an institutionalist. So he has to assign somebody, and this guy's out of Missouri, former CPA, 10 years an FBI guy. So God knows, where his allegiances or early mental thoughts go. But Barr can't do it himself because that's not how institutions work.
Right.
He's got to have this guy. And once you do that, once you decide you're going to give to somebody else, you've got to let them make the decision. You can't go, okay, you do it. And he said, yeah, I think the prosecution's fine, and then go against that. So you've got a whatever percentage chance it is that this guy will say, just let it go forward. And which Barr can't do anything about that. As an institution, legally he could, but as an institution, he can't. So this guy's going to spend, I mean, how many years has Flynn been indicted for?
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Do we think that special investigation is going to get done, you know, anytime soon while Flynn's.
It could be done in, you know, a few minutes. I mean,
I can tell you right now, corrupt, right? Get a giant C for corrupt and stamp it on
there. Well, of course
there.
It's corrupt. And the judge is corrupt. Emmett Sullivan, in fact, you know, I was pointing out to you, he got in a fight with a circuit court judge.
Right.
He was trying to get everybody to go to a climate change deal where they were going to only neutral facts. Right, right. So this other guy who is a conservative wrote back saying, why don't you just be a judge rather than try and save the world? I should report you to ethics. Well, of course, the D.C. Circuit, which you're all part of, it's all lefties. All lefties go, how dare you attack Emmett Sullivan that way? And then Sullivan refers him. It says, I want him to be investigated. And this guy has gone scurrying back. So Emmett Sullivan is, you know, your climate alarmist, and he's been a disgrace in this case, a disgrace.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can go back to when he started talking about Flynn being a traitor, and there's, oh, wait, that's not something we're talking about.
Oh, so, yeah, you guys take me too literally. What a jerk.
Here's the thing. Michael Tao, by the way, who we had on last week about his column, it's up and posted at AM Greatness, and you'd think the guy has ESP, right? Because the whole point of a column is to talk about the deep state and how the whole thing is predicated on there was a Russian hack of the DNC, which of course is not even true. There is no evidence of that. The FBI never even investigated it. So that whole thing goes away. I still think that hopefully Barr and Durham are looking into that. They're looking into the origins.
They're
of
looking
the
into everything. How many years? I mean, it takes a New York district, the Eastern District of New York, like 2 minutes to go after Parvis and everyone else. Boom, 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 boom. Takes them 2 years to let go of McCabe because they know they're going to get let McCabe off in the beginning, but they're just finding a propitious moment to do it. And this is another thing about Barr, which I hadn't looked back. Barr was the AG when Ruby Ridge occurred.
Ooh.
Ooh. And so he went on full protection mode, right? He wanted to make sure that nobody got hurt. Absolutely nobody. And so at the end, the only, you know, it looked like Lon Harachi, who was the sniper who killed Mrs. Weaver, was going to be charged out in Idaho for manslaughter. And he had left the AG's office by that time, but he volunteered pro bono to represent him. Of course, he was making millions at a big law firm. But so, in case you don't know, no one went to jail. No, there were no ramifications. They have two things. One, they put up a mean letter, a disciplinary letter in Potts, who was like third or fourth down, and one other person. And then they said, this is very serious for your future in the FBI. You know, people don't know how serious it is. 2 weeks later, Potts is nominated to be the second in charge of the FBI. Everybody's going, oh, yeah, of course. Well, wait a minute. And so it's a joke, right? It's a joke. But one guy who you've never heard of, like Keogh, was sent to 18 months to jail. He's an FBI guy. They sent, you know, they have discovery obligations, which, you know, the U.S. attorneys are notorious for their criminal actions with regard to discovery.
Chuck has very strong opinions on prosecutors and particularly U.S. attorneys.
Well, doesn't everybody?
Yeah.
Have you been watching them?
I know. Oh, I know.
Have you been watching what they've been doing?
It's becoming harder and harder to maintain my case that there are some good ones.
There must be some somewhere. I'm sure there are. And probably most of them are good, but there are a lot of rotten ones. And you never get to, you know, they're never called out. They wanted something. There's an FBI report that Jerry Spence had heard about that's critical to the FBI. So they made the, discovery request. The U.S. attorney was supposed to get it from the FBI. This guy shredded it just on his own.
Sure.
And he's a 26-year.
You shouldn't do that. Well, and again.
Well, wait a minute, let me finish this. So he's the only one who went to jail. The only one. The absolute one. And I guarantee the same thing is they'll pick out some smuck, some middle level smuck. They'll go after him and they will let everybody else off. I mean, I'm agreeing with Michael Tao. I mean, after this week, I think the likelihood, what for Barr would be a fair deal is if Flynn and the other one, you know, not Manafort, but at least Flynn and Stone don't really go to jail. And then they let all the deep state people go away.
See,
now Flynn and Stone's lives are destroyed.
Right.
But all the rest of the crooks in Washington do great. And that's what Barr's going to do. And we're lucky we got that.
I know.
We're lucky we got that.
And I have tried to be, Michael Tao sent us an email this morning saying, oh yeah, the plan is working. Hello. Yeah,
right. Yeah, right.
And you know, you and Michael Tao have been,
well, he was even this, worse than I
yeah,
was.
Yeah, he was worse than you. But I think you look at, you know, again, here's the thing, Mr. Barr, leave the president alone. The only reason the truth gets out sometimes is because the president tweets it, right? The president, you can't blame the president for not necessarily relying on Barr to get stuff done, right? Barr is like, Trump, leave me alone. I got this, right? So the prosecutors who say 9 years for Stone, it's like, what? You know, Barr says, don't worry, that we're gonna make that go back. But then he doesn't fire him. He doesn't say, what kind of insubordinational nonsense is this? You're all fired or you're all sent to, I don't know, Siberia or something.
Earlier in
like
the week.
Well, let me just finish. So Trump is supposed to say, oh, okay, I trust you, Barr. And then the very next day, Barr comes out and says, oh yeah, McCabe's clear. McCabe, yeah. No criminal charges against McCabe. So once again, I'm trying to get my head around this. Roger Stone, they want to send to prison for 9 years for lying to Congress where there was no underlying crime.
The underlying crime is he was falsely bragging he had more power than he did.
Right.
I mean, how many people go, you know, Clapper,
we would
Brennan.
Never do that.
I mean, it's just, you look at the system and go, it doesn't work. Maybe no system works. But this one, any trust you had in the system, and I had some trust, some skepticism, but it's all gone. I see
bad for Michael Avenatti.
Yeah, I do. Well, that was a corrupt prosecution, undoubtedly. They hid evidence from him, and you know, I mean, and then we get other ones. It's Stone. The foreman comes out, and you know, she says, oh, no, I agree totally with the prosecutors. You find out she lied on the forms. She was an absolute activist and hated Trump and was going to get him. Now, anybody else, except you have a corrupt district court judge, Amy Barrett. And she made sure that people who convict Stone got on the jury.
Right.
And that's what she did.
But again, where were the prosecutors in that, right?
Well, they were. They were
the defense attorney. I mean, the thing
Well, you have to understand the defense attorneys had tons of them. I mean, you get X number of for cause.
Yeah.
You have to convince the crooked judge that there is. And then you get some preemptive, which doesn't matter why you want it. Well, she let everyone in, and so you had a choice. Do I want this woman, or do I want the wife of a DOJ employee? Yeah. I mean,
Nellie Orr.
Yeah, Nellie Orr. I mean, the whole corrupt system in Washington, it just stinks so bad.
And it is, you know, again, I had some hope in Barr, and I think Barr is doing what he can to look into the origins of the whole, you know, crossfire hurricane, the corrupt FBI investigation and fake investigation into Trump. But if you know, Andy McCabe clearly lied. And some people, and I get this because I try to remain hopeful too, are saying, well, maybe they just don't want it to be on a little crime. They're going to get him on bigger crimes. And it's like, no, they're not. You know, I don't, maybe, and please,
no, there's
hope
no
to
maybe.
God that we're wrong. But
no, there
I
is
just,
no maybe.
Even
the way
I
prosecutors
so
do these days, it used to be in some states, you could only charge a person with one crime. You couldn't go and conspiracy and your mother and now they, you know, 98 count indictments. I mean, they're awful and they're getting worse. And so with any, these are clearly he lied. You clearly include these if you want to go after McCabe. Now, maybe you just want to give a phony one count thing and then let him go, you know, do your famous don't try very hard deal. And he gets off. I mean, it's. Michael Tao's right.
Well, and again, you just look at the whole, I don't know. I think that Barr wants to simply protect his Department of Justice people, protect the institution.
Yes.
Because when you look at, again, the corruption has to be involved here with all kinds of people. We go back to what were 40 FBI investigators doing looking into Donald
years.
Trump?
I two
mean,
years.
Because once they all knew it was made up, right?
Right.
So when they come in, and I know maybe it was just a cush job and all they did was go on vacations. That we could hope that. But you would think that one of them would have said, hey, have you done any investigating? No, I haven't done any investigating.
But you have to understand,
either.
Those are the same people that did the Hillary investigation.
Oh, yeah.
They knew they were biased and bigoted and would do whatever they want. They'd act as scuba divers to make sure that a 66-year-old man didn't dive off his dock in the middle of
the night.
I mean, it's so disgusting. And where's Lindsey Graham? He was going to bring everything to make sure that we found out why that was done. Oh, I guess not.
Well, and again, I go
so
back.
So Ray stinks. The general counsel stinks. Bonte stinks. Is there anybody in Washington that doesn't stink?
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
There you go, which there is why you sent him there. So, you know, I keep saying 303-888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Go ahead and give us a call if you want to weigh in. You can also go to zoom.us and put in the meeting number 209-576-423, and we can bring you up and you can be video on the air too. This is a video
conference.
I know. And I figured out what was going on with our screen. So that's good. We need like an
tech expert.
Yeah. It's kind of, we need Red to come on up here.
Well, to tell us, do you have any trust in the U.S. Department of Justice? I mean, it's a huge organization, includes the FBI, includes all kinds of them. And when you, if you're called for jury duty, you go, oh, there's a nice assistant
U.S.
attorney.
Well, we can go through, you know, all right, I'm going to put on sort of my former journalist reporter hat.
And say
there are thousands and thousands of cases, right? Some of them get handled. I'm sure there must be one or two that get handled correctly. Right?
No, they're all corrupt. I think more or less they're corrupt.
I'm talking about,
how many cases have jailhouse snitches? Jailhouse snitches are perjury. You know, when they find out they want somebody, everybody volunteers and said, I heard, I saw him. He talked to me and he said he did.
Right.
That's what they all do. And we do it here in Colorado. You know, some of the big murder cases, even though they've got it down, there's no way.
Oh, sure.
They lie, they cheat. They, you know, the Arapahoe County, Douglas County, Denver County, they're all corrupt. They lie, they cheat, they put perjured testimony on. Now, you don't care so much because that guy is a murderer. So who cares if they lied and cheated? But there are other cases where you wish they wouldn't lie and cheat, but they're like all human beings. They want to win, and they know they can.
And here's, you know, here's a text from Anil Mathai. If Barr can't stop the corruption, one has to wonder if anyone can. Why would Barr allow this to happen? How different is he in Sessions at this point when it comes to real actions? Obama and Clinton allies should be thrown in jail at a minimum, but they're getting off. You know, and Anil, that raises a good thing. Chuck and I were talking about this. So if Barr wants to say, well, you know, I can't do it, my hands are tied, blah, 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 the president should intervene, let's just go take a look at Loretta Lynch. Loretta Lynch was Obama's attorney general, right? So she's meeting Bill Clinton on the tarmac in a plane while Hillary Clinton's under investigation. So she felt okay to do that. You look at Eric Holder, Fast and Furious and the stuff. So those attorney generals didn't say, oh, no, we must preserve and we need the president to stay out of things. So give me a break, Barr. I mean, if I could talk to Barr, I'd say just get over it. Get over yourself and think about the country. Think about what your twisted use of, I don't know what, some sort of bizarre seeming integrity is anything but. All it does is, so people look and you say, you want to throw Roger Stone in jail for 9 years and then for doing nothing, and then Andrew McCabe, who did lie, who was part of a coup to overthrow the president, you're going to say, oh no, no criminal charges on that. Why is one okay? Why is, you know, lying to the FBI, if you're Andrew McCabe, that's okay. But if you're Roger Stone and what you do is amplify your own importance about something that doesn't even have anything to do with anything. And all of a sudden now that's with 9 years in prison, or General Flynn, right? Where they threaten his son. It's just.
And then you have this jerk, Emmett Sullivan, who
the judge
in the
Michael Flynn case.
Powell in another case thought he was just great. he is unbelievably awful. I mean, And so are Amy Barrett. So many of these judges, you think, okay, I'll go in there and the judge will be a neutral arbiter between the defense and the prosecution. You know how many judges are former prosecutors?
All of them?
90%, 99%. They all did Brady violations. They did all kinds of garbage.
Jake, you're shaking all this stuff.
Well, Chuck is a revolution! Revolution!
I know.
Well, you feel that way. I mean,
I know,
yeah, eventually you just kind of go, well, you know, the world is corrupt. Hey, just figure that out.
No, but here's
the world is corrupt. You know, humans have feet of clay. The government is made up of humans, and there's no there is no way
but
of catching
them. This is beyond.
No, it's not
this
the same garbage they've been doing for 200 years.
Here we got Ben calling in on via Zoom. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, we see
it's
you.
It's Ben.
Ooh. Well, you ask whether or not I trust the Department of Justice.
Yes.
Everybody out there. I'm a little concerned about it whenever we have Hillary Clinton. I think she's had about 8 federal laws that she's broken about, you know, the concern how she treated the emails and also the federal equipment. the
right,
you know, so hammering of that of the and destroying of that government property.
Right.
There's not one indictment.
No, not one charge.
No.
Nothing.
Well, and Ben, on top of that, remember when they went to interview her, so did Roger Stone get this courtesy? Did any of the Trump people? They go to interview her, and remember the
she gets to bring her lawyers over. She comes out of her little investigation.
Everybody gets immunity, and Strzok and Page are texting back and forth. They don't want her to be intimidated or feel bad because actually she might be president someday and remember it. I mean, the complete difference with which the two. If you're a Trump supporter, they throw you in prison no matter what. If you're an anti-Trump person, no matter what you do, it's okay.
Well, I think our legal system, there is, I hate to say this, but there is rich man law and there's poor man law.
Boy, isn't that the truth. There's insider law and there's not insider law.
That's
and,
right.
I mean, you know, and they can break you. They can go after your kids. They can do anything. And there are no judges are not going to stop them because they are just as corrupt, just as dishonest, and just as wanting to get people who they don't like.
Right, and they just run the clock out, you know. When and that's it. So it's way past the point that they can prosecute them.
Right.
That's what they
let the statute of limitations run.
What do you, Ben? Right. Do you see? I mean, you know. I think Barr does appear to be investigating stuff, which I think is why some of these things leak out and don't leak out, right? You know, they keep trying to call the Russia hoax a debunked conspiracy theory. Do you think some of these people will ever be brought to justice, or what do you think?
No, I doubt it seriously. Yeah. I mean,
the one person, just like in Ruby Ridge, the one middle-level schmuck.
Yeah.
That's in the CIA,
lunch with everybody, yeah.
And he'll go to jail for a decade.
Yeah. The only person I can think of that might be destined to the jail is the attorney that added a word of not.
Yes, Kleinsmith.
Kleinsmith.
Kleinsmith, yeah. They'll get him. Well, they'll get him. They're not going to let him get away with that.
But that's just think of that for a moment. If folks don't know what we're talking about. So this was the lawyer who was reviewing stuff for FISA applications and warrants and things like that and, like, left out the word not, right? And not only
well,
like,
wait a minute. They said – the question was oh God again, what's his name?
Was he a confidant?
Right.
Yeah, Carter, of the CIA.
Carter Page. Right.
Carter Page. Was he an informant or a source right. or
and
yes. So it said yes he is. And so he changed it just adding no he's not. And so, you know, changing one or two words to make no he's not. Oh, okay. That's okay. Oh
yeah.
Man. So and you bet it's the first time he ever did that. And so he'll go to jail. They'll let him have it. He is going to be, you know, burnt at the stake because we must trust our system.
Chuck is getting excited right. again, guys. It's
like I just can't stand it. I can't stand it.
And this is why I think there's a lot of people that are changing their affiliation and going to independent because they're losing faith in the government as well as the parties because each party has its dirty laundry.
Yes.
And when you're talking about the establishment, you're really talking about a group of individuals that are on both sides of the aisle.
Yes, the uniparty. Well, and you know what, Ben, we're going to let you go here in a second because we got Jen Cooper. I wanted to give so people in Colorado and other states, too, maybe. But the Colorado primary, presidential primary is on Super Tuesday. So Coloradans got their ballots in the mail this week to vote in the primary. Right. But I also want to give you an opportunity because I believe in this. Don't just vote. Go to your caucus because the caucus Absolutely. Is where the grassroots really can make a difference.
That's right. And that's what's happening right now is they're trying to kill the caucus. And, you know, they're pushing this. So I think there was an article that I just read lately that it was just espousing the virtues of a primary state. And so they're saying, oh, well, you know, you have the opportunity now. The unaffiliates have an opportunity to participate. Well, you can only participate in one party or the other. So if you're an unaffiliated, you really can vote for a Republican for one office and a Democrat for another. But in this particular primary, you can't. You have to vote for all one party candidates or yet the other. And so it's not really the same as a general election where you have that.
And what it does is
waste of money.
It is, well, and I think, and correct me if you disagree, but I think the intent of it is to go ahead and give it to the establishment person who has far more money to spend for advertising and getting the
word
out.
They want to get all the grassroots out.
Right.
They can't hate, you know, Coors hates, Anschutz hates. They all hate, you know, these pro-life, you know, ones. And the, except you're supposed to volunteer to make sure that Cory Gardner gets in. Now, come on. We all got to unite for Cory Gardner.
Yeah, we just heard that. So it's not something. I mean, the other evening I was down at the Arapaho Tea Party, and I was joined by three more rowdy Adams County people there. And there was an individual that, you're smart.
We were there.
That's right. So, I mean, we hear that all the time. And it's a shame because the grassroots, when you go to your caucus, that's where you meet your neighbors, the people that you live in your area. And there's where you can share your ideas and bring forth those propositions that you or resolutions that you're wanting to see our party adopt.
Right. That's critical.
Not that it makes any difference because they ignore them. Then Cory Gardner goes, let me see the Republican platform for Colorado. Oh, okay. I got it.
Hey, Ben, though, we're going to let you go. You can hang on video-wise. Just
I think I will. I'll mute my.
Yeah. All right.
And anybody else wants to do it too, you go to zoom.us or you can go to bbsradio.com. They have a link and you put in the meeting number 209-576-423. As Ben said, we really can all be sitting around the kitchen table.
Yeah.
But I would like to bring on, I'm talking about grassroots activism, Jan Cook.
There she is.
With Colorado Freedom Force. Jan is our eyes and ears down at the state legislature. Hey, Jan.
You have lots of eyes and ears.
Yeah. There you go. So I wanted to ask you, let's just launch into it. This is a big week. Republican bills and things going on. Do we have any rights left, Jan? Any rights left after this?
It is kind of hard to motivate and get people excited when every time they go down to the Capitol. Yesterday was unprecedented in terms of how people were treated by the House, State, Veterans and Military Affairs, the legislators, the Democrat legislators. Just so you know, as I'm getting prepared to go down there, they already had tweets out about the hate bills that they were to hear. So, Chuck,
Jan, I saw that. And here's
what I'm saying. I'm just in my car and I'm looking at tweets about the hate bills that are about to come up. The seven lucky bills that were presented by Republicans that all landed in what they call the kill committee, which is the committee that they send for bills to die. But Coloradan parents wanted to fight for them because they were parental rights. And there was protecting minors from.
Well, it's clearly hate legislation.
Well, I know.
Protecting minors.
Jan, I saw that too.
Hate legislation.
And some of the main, even on like in Colorado Politics, the blog site, it said anti-gay measure. They're not anti-gay measures.
Well, Colorado Politics, you know, that's Phil Anschutz.
I mean, those are Republicans.
Read Colorado Politics, and we got to go pay past the paywall, and see if that has anything to do with conservative values.
Well, Jan, what I'd like you to do is explain. Let's set the record straight here. These were not hate bills. These were had nothing to do with gay, anti-gay, nothing to do. They could have made it up and said these are racist bills or whatever.
Well, they were
racist. So why don't you explain what they would have done?
Well, the parents, for example, on just the Parents' Bill of Rights is just making sure we are a local. If people don't realize this, we're a local control state. And in particular with our education, that's why we have school boards. You vote for your school boards. You work with your teachers, your school boards. And so it was just amazing to me that they were calling out these moms that were there as the vax moms. Like, you're a one-issue person. They would say things like that repetitively. They would call them hate bills. And everybody kept saying, the parents kept saying, please tell us why you consider these hate bills when we don't designate what type of parents have parental rights. We simply say parents have these rights to understand what's going on with their children, their education, what have you. There's no specification on sexuality. So whatever your family compromises and what you consider to be a parent in your household, it would have covered you. It had nothing to do with sexual orientation. Planned Parenthood sent out tweets calling them hate bills.
I'm shocked. Well, it's such a great
And here's what they want to do. You know, Jan, what, and if folks are just joining us, this is Jan Cook with Colorado Freedom Force, keeping an eye on bills at the legislature. Because I want to talk about this, because get into this a little bit more, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to shame us. They're trying to shut us up. And they say, hey, you want to come down to the state capitol? I'm going to take your picture and I'm going to call you a hate mom. And we're going to say, you're a hater. You're a racist. You're anti-gay. And then you're stuck in the position of saying, no, I'm not. And they don't care. They don't care what they do to you. They want to just shut you up. And Jan, you guys are so courageous.
Yeah, you really
are. You really are, to be down there fighting. I mean, how do you even do it? I mean,
I want to give a shout out to Jeff Hunt, Centennialist. Yeah. Also, his wife, Nicole, were there for hours. Also, the Colorado, Concerned Colorado. I recommend that you get, and I'll put you in touch, Julie, with Denise Dirks, who.
Okay.
Recognizes the moms that are really what the Democrats are not recognizing. These moms were primarily Democrat voters. Many of them voted in the election for the Democrat. And some of them are unaffiliated. Some of them have been lifelong Democrats all their lives, but they are so incensed that the legislators aren't listening to them. And at one point, several points actually, the Democrat legislators would drill the mothers, like, give me bills or tell me where we've eroded your rights. And of course, they're like, they're not used to doing these testimonies. They're not attorneys.
You know what?
They're like getting flustered by these legislators talking to them like that and drilling them on where they have had their parental rights usurped.
You know, I saw that several years ago, and we've talked about this before, at the state legislature when they were passing all of the anti-gun bills, right?
Yes.
And there would be people coming in, women, kids, testifying, and it was exactly that. You know, here's the thing I think, Jan. If you're a state legislator, right, and some citizen takes the time and effort to find a place to park, for Pete's sakes, go down to the legislature and testify, this is your constituent. You might disagree with it. This is a kill committee. You know their bill has no chance on earth of getting
through. Right.
The least you could do, just as a human being, is just listen respectfully. But at the gun thing, they drill those people. I saw them make people cry. They were so flustered and out of sorts with the way the legislators were treating them. And these are our elected officials. And so you're saying it's the same kind of attitude we're seeing again?
It is. And the moms got pretty, some of them got pretty testy with them in a very powerful way.
Good.
Not in a shrieking or, really they were prepared. Again, another person who I thought was stellar is a woman by the name of Andy. If she happens to be listening, she gave such powerful testimony. They were so articulate, but you know, it was frustrating because we knew we weren't swaying them. Just so you know, when I sent my emails, I sent them to Casey Becker, who's the Speaker of the House. I copied Alec Garnett, who's the majority leader, and all the committee members. And I said, what I was trying to say to them is, there are four bills that I feel that you may not like the language specifically, but the Republicans and the Democrats can make this happen. Parental rights obviously was one of them. And another one I thought was really important was the sterilization and the mutilization of minors, these drugs for transgender. But the transgender community, I'll tell you, was out in full force begging for these drugs. And for their five-year-olds, whatever it be, that feel better if they get these drugs. And they kept talking about how it's reversible. The other one I really can't believe didn't get any traction, no pun intended, is the Equality and Fairness Youth Sports Act, which is basically could have been called the Girls Equality Sports Act.
Exactly.
You would not have believed it. Chuck, I have to go to Chuck, the man, on this one. Because what they were saying was, how dare this legislator think that a male should go in front of a physician and be tested as to whether he's biologically a male? And they're saying, wait a minute, you have to do that whether you compete in the Olympics, regardless of where you're competing, you have to go through physical exams with doctors in order for you to be even able to play in competitive sports. And they were using, this was the argument that the chair gave Kennedy, he said, you know, I know what you're saying about the inequality for women, but I can't vote on something that will create lower self-esteem for a group.
Oh, good grief. Hey. Oh, good. Oh, I have lower. I mean, it's like, okay, so what we're talking about are bills. What is wrong with the Democrats? Do they hate women now too? So these, and thank God for those families in Connecticut that have filed a federal lawsuit, right? There are three
Connecticut.
Three high school, they've been before, up till now, track stars in the high school system. So scholarships, track records, all that kind of stuff has been up to play. And then Chuck, all of a sudden, there have been two biological males who have identified as women, right? Yeah. Who then all of a sudden can go ahead and participate in the girls' sports. They're killing all the records. The girls have lost all the records. They don't ever win, and they're losing scholarships. That's so they said, look, under Title IX, I thought we were supposed to protect women. But now you've got this where, I mean, okay, this is going to be, I'm sure people are going to hate on me for this, but let's just say I want to identify as a dog, okay? I am not going to be allowed to participate and jump over all the little things at the Westminster Dog Show and then win.
Right. Right, right.
So that's an extreme.
Well, that could happen. You never know.
You never know.
Going. You could say, I want to identify as lots of things anymore. And we're also, there's a fabulous article in the Wall Street Journal that Richard Turnquist had sent out. And I will forward it to you. It's really good. It's about the dangers of denying biology. And it's a really good opinion piece. And it's perfect for what's going on with this situation.
Well, and so what would the bill in Colorado have done? It just would have been, it would have protected girls in
competing
sports?
Against girls. Yeah, that's wrong.
That seems unfair.
That's wrong. And
the idea is that if a male, there was no discrimination. If a male wants to identify as female, the only problem is that his DNA and his hormones identify as a male.
What?
That's all. It's so to say that it creates an unfairness in the sports arena for young women athletes. In fact, one father was there to represent his daughter, who's a swimmer, and she indeed was, her classmates were experiencing this transgender unfairness in their competitive swimming.
And so, what about their self-esteem, right? What about these girls who have trained hard, you know, to be a high school swimmer or high school track star, or even let's go to college, or let's even say in the Olympics, right? And they trained hard, and all of a sudden, a biological man who identifies as a woman can enter their sport, clearly has advantages over them in some areas, and somehow or another, the Colorado Democrat at the legislature, they said, well, they were more worried about those people's self-esteem than the rights and the fairness and the self-esteem of the actual biological girls.
Well, everybody remembers the East German women and Bulgarian deadlifters and everything else, where they took enormous amount of hormones, male hormones, which really physically changed them. How can you exclude them anymore? I mean, gotta go, okay, I'm taking male hormones.
That's,
I mean, that guy is a male, so I can take male hormones. I mean, give me a break. So it's fascinating. It's fascinating.
There's a South Park cartoon that an educator sent me, and it was
called
Strong Woman Competition. And it deals with his situation, and
it's pretty funny.
Hilarious. And it was something I needed to see this morning after dealing with, by the way, here's another unfair thing. There were lots of parents that wanted to stay, but when it got to 10, 11, 12, 1, believe it or not, I was up monitoring them.
I
dropped off at Bill. I'd had it. And at that point, it was 2:00 in the morning. And I figured the last two were going to go pretty quickly anyway into the kill pile.
Into the kill pile, right.
Think about the people who wanted to testify, regardless of knowing that this wasn't... There was no way they could hang out that long. They didn't lay them over, you know, pick them up on another hearing, nothing. They just.
But I want to go back to the point you made earlier that some of these people, some of the women, some of the men, were constituents. They're Democrat, not constituents, but they're Democrats.
Yes. Like,
do you think they could care less?
The legislators.
Well, clearly, but here's what I think is not happening, and I could be wrong about this, and I did. Suggest this to someone this morning. They kept saying that their constituents agree. So Emily Sirota, Susan Lahntein, Chris Kennedy, they were all saying, oh, my constituents are all for these, the way we're voting. Yeah, but are these women not showing up at their town halls? And so I'm questioning whether we need to get their constituents who don't know the way that they're voting out to these town halls and get them on a personal level. So
and get the word out.
Well, real quick, just to let people reminder, please go to ColoradoFreedomForce.com to see our bill tracker. Just know, people, that we are posting alerts on the Facebook page. And by the way, you're live streaming right now on our group. We hit over 5,000 people this week. And by the way, once you hit a certain number, you're not going to see the next number will be 6,000. So you could be at 5,500, but it's always going to be now in those round numbers. But so people are not excited. People want to fight back. They want to do something. And so they are sending emails. But the thing I want to share with you is, Julie, I want to send this link to you because I can't post on your Facebook page.
I don't know why. Okay, I'll try to fix that. Okay.
We've got a bill we think we can get passed. And Corey Lewis's mom, who just recently...
Kimmy Lewis.
Corey is her daughter. Kimmy Lewis, Representative Lewis, wanted this bill to get through. And it's HB 20-1117. And it's to ensure that our beef is labeled appropriately, whether it is made in Colorado, the United States of America. They want... legitimacy in the labeling. That's all they're asking for, which they believe protects ranchers and farmers. Maybe have Patrick on to talk about this because maybe on Monday, because he's sponsoring this.
Okay.
We're trying a new tactic, and that is to get people to sign this petition so that we can print off these petitions and prove to people all through the state of Colorado that your constituents want this bill. This is our test pilot because we feel it's something that people will easily can get around.
Why would you be opposed to it?
And then we're going to try something a little more controversial next. I'll keep you abreast of when that one is.
Okay. All right, Dan, you are great as always. I'll try to figure out how to fix it so you can post. Everybody else posts in the universe, so I'll figure that out. Thank you very much, Dan.
Thanks, Colorado Jan.
Freedom Force.
Thank you
for keeping an eye on.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. Right. Bye-bye.
You know, she's hitting something too that's even, you know, and people want to call in 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. You know, the lawmakers in Colorado now, they have the Democrats a stranglehold, right? And they don't care. And so we're typically, they would be doing in this election year, they'd be kind of softballing things a little bit, backing down. They're not anymore because they know that. But I hope that Jan is right. I hope that you have, for instance, if you're, you know, the coveted white suburban women, of which I'm one, by the way, right? They think that they're homogenous. And I think they're not. I think that these women care more about their families. So in other words, if I'm a mom and I've got a daughter in high school, right? And she's at college, she's a high school athlete. And maybe, you know, I have strong opinions about gay rights, strong opinions about transgender rights, but I also have a strong opinion about my daughter's right to compete fairly for scholarships and awards and things like that. And I think the Democrats, I'm just hoping, you know, that their overreach in Colorado is going to wake people up and say,
what? What difference does it make? What difference does it make?
You're talking again about the ballot harvesting.
Well,
the
that's it. They're going to nursing homes and getting 200 Alzheimer patients or people with disabilities or other problems, you know, getting them, conning them to voting their way, and then boxing them up and bring them. They don't care about suburban women. They don't care about anything. And it's like being in Alabama in 1920. If you're black and Republican, do you think they're going to go and they'd come down to the legislature and go, oh, you know, this is terrible. The Ku Klux Klan is killing us. And also they're laughing. We've rigged the election, and they've rigged the election with the acquiescence of the Republican establishment. Republican establishment party. No, you ever hear? Hey, by the way, Corey, you're not going to win because it's crooked. And at once, just once in your pathetic life, figure that out and protest about it. One time pointed out that, hey, We've now got a system that's rigged.
And what Chuck is talking about, and again, we like to talk about this, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but this is coming to your state. It's a Colorado model. They put it in place here. It's worked phenomenally for the Democrats, and they're trying to export it, and they are exporting it to other states. It's an all-mail ballot system. The Democrats, because of the way they work, their party works, have various groups like Planned Parenthood, teachers unions, you know, the list goes green things, the list goes on and on and on. So when the ballots are mailed, they have people, armies, like literally, you know, ballot armies in place to reach out, find the unaffiliated voters who are going to vote for them, and then they go make sure that they get their ballots out. The Republicans are still playing, like I was saying, it's like the Democrats have rocket launchers and we have bows and arrows, you know, and the Republicans are still just hoping that people mail their ballot in. That's got to change. And they did that on purpose, right? They did it on purpose.
No,
well,
no,
I mean,
really?
But they did it
really?
Here. It worked here. And then what happens is they take over the Colorado legislature. And then, they, as you said, they just don't care. You know, we were at a meeting the other day where a woman is very nicely saying, well, they've gerrymandered it and hopefully we can fix this. It's like, no, you know, and it's so it's going to happen. And let's go back to
something. Well, I want to bring up another thing. You know, okay. Jan was talking about the Arapaho Tea Party, which you were at. This one guy who is, you know, says, I'm not an accountant or anything else. He's going over the budget and looking at me. He says, look at this side. And I went, okay, this is interesting. Almost $1 million, $900,000 was allocated to outreach to independent voters. What do you think that is? You think that's outreach to pro-Republican outreach voters?
No.
No. It is 900,000 where they're just going to get their votes.
You're talking about this was the Democrat budget.
No, it's the budget that was approved last year.
Oh, by the legislature?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes. Well, there we go. Oh,
there's an interesting item. I mean, the whole budget.
I know. Chuck's going to stake the table again if you don't.
I just got, hey.
Well, let's go
okay,
back.
Okay, Taggart didn't do well today, but maybe more.
Yeah. Let's go back to something positive, and that's Donald Trump. Donald Trump coming to Colorado the 20th in Colorado Springs.
Yep.
I agree with our friend and Tea Party activist Randy Corcoran, who takes it as a good sign. And Randy,
not a bad sign.
Exactly.
Not bad.
And Randy has the feeling that Trump will be here more than once. Trump is going to all the states. I have a feeling, too. I think Trump has enough money at this point that he can go to all the states. He doesn't have to do triage yet, right, which is important. So I don't know how much you weigh into how winnable he thinks Colorado is as opposed to, hey, it sure as heck couldn't hurt. But let's talk about something fun to talk about,
yay,
and that's the Democrat primary.
All right.
Even our friend, you can tell the establishment Democrats totally are throwing in, I believe, to Michael Bloomberg. We had Ted Trimpa, Democrat strategist, on our show Wednesday.
He's warming up to him, feeling better about
it. It's like, Ted Trimpa, I guarantee, I'm putting words in his mouth, but I guarantee you going into it, if you said, you know, Ted, do you think Michael Bloomberg would be the best candidate? He would have gone, no, I can't believe that. Today, Doug Friednesh, a friend of yours, and ours, he worked with Hickenlooper, he worked with Michael Bennett.
He worked for the mayor of Denver.
Michael Hancock.
Michael Hancock. But you know, he's at Brownstein, so they're part of the Uniparty.
Exactly. He had a column today saying, hey, you know that Michael Bloomberg
guy. We love him. Come on.
He's got a lot of advantages.
You know,
So
And they gave me, you know, I mean, like they do everything else. I mean, you know, it just, the system is getting, well, I guess.
I think Michael Bloomberg.
But Doug Friednesh is a great guy, but does he want to be with Bernie Sanders? No.
No, that's what he's saying.
Does he want to be with dead Joe Biden? No.
No.
Well, wait, we got Barney online, too.
Oh, Barney's Amy Klobuchar spokesperson in Colorado. Yeah. Hey, Barney.
Well, how's it looking for Amy?
Thanks, Chuck and Julie. And we might not be getting married. I just don't see it happening. Might have just, hey, you know what? I had as good a shot with her as Rev has with Michelle Malkin. Just look at it that
Michelle
way.
Michelle kind of like Rev, to tell the truth.
Well, yeah, maybe Rev had a better shot. He probably had a better shot than I did, but so anyway, I don't even want to, the Bloomberg thing, I'll tell you what, man, this guy's spending money like you wouldn't believe.
These black activists. Well, he said he was sorry about spending 12 years incarcerating every black man.
Yeah.
So the whole prison, so they emptied out all young men from New York City. Okay, he said
he didn't mean
he didn't know that hurt people's feelings. He didn't know having being thrown up against walls, you know, citizens might object if they're African American. No, it's okay. It's not a problem.
Do you think
he said he's sorry? He's sorry.
What do you think, though? I would like to see. Well, first, he just looks like such a sourpuss. I know that appearances aren't everything, but he looks like the Grinch, I think. But what do you think? Do you think
I think he does have. I think what's going to happen. I mean, I always said that Bernie was the. But who knows what. You know, keep in mind, Bernie gave up, and he lost a little support when he gave up to Hillary.
Right.
He really. Right. He screwed that. Yeah. But.
Yep.
And who knows? Bloomberg is. This money is unreal. So people are going to know who he is, I guarantee you, by the time. And, you know, they're going to slip in the delegate thing, and automatically he's going to be in the mix, that's for sure. But
If I had to bet, and even in the betting odds are now, the top two betting odds are Sanders and Bloomberg. I mean, so you have a chance.
Yeah,
he has a chance.
I agree.
Yeah. Maybe Jeff Bezos will jump in. He's got more money. Well, here's the thing. I think, it's going to be weird because I think Sanders – I mean, what the Morning Consult poll, which is a political, I mean, it's a left-leaning poll, has Sanders up, like, significantly after.
10 points.
Yeah,
ten points.
Amy Klobuchar.
That can change. I mean, everything is very fluid. The key to it, and, you know, my conspiracy theory, though I don't think it's a theory, is that when all the insiders, they were so mad they crooked it for Hillary in the last convention, they pretended that, okay, we won't vote in the first round. And everybody, we won. And then they said, and we're going to make every primary, every one, all 55 of them, includes territories, are going to be by proportional voting, which almost guarantees that no one's going to get a majority.
Right.
It almost guarantees at this point.
So then they swoop in and steal it.
And then you go to the Democrats, you object, and they go, they said they were sorry. I mean, we don't care. Hey, come on.
Right,
come
exactly. On. Democrats have a different moral compass or ground than
they don't have. By the way, exactly.
Zogby's still saying that Biden's going to win South Carolina. So I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know about these polls.
Well, he doesn't care. I mean, Bloomberg's going fine. Biden, you win that one. I'll win enough, and then we get my superdelegates, and it's Bloomberg time.
Do you think? I just
because all this
have
is a waste of time before Super Tuesday. I mean, it's a waste of time. But sorry, Julie, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. I have to type.
Eight delegates here, eight here, and then after Super Tuesday, here's 1,000, you win. We know how that works. But I just wanted to know when Randy comes on again, maybe ask him if Corey's going to be in Colorado Springs when Trump shows up.
Yes, he is. He's becoming committed. And the Colorado politics, which is just a joke, thinks that arch conservative and strong Trump supporter, Cory Gardner.
He's going to be with Trump, and he's actually, I think they were saying, I think he's even got, he gets to talk, right? He's got a speaking role.
He gets to talk.
And he wants to talk.
This is so exciting.
Right.
And he's going to start sending out tweets pretty soon, too.
I think when I'm done with my call, I think I'm going to go puke.
Love you guys. Barney, thank you for calling as always. Hey, happy Valentine's Day to you. All right. You know, so what do you think? I have a feeling you just look at the masterminds, I guess, and not even calling the establishment, the masterminds of the Democratic Party. All of a sudden, like, oh, I like that Michael Bloomberg. He's not that bad. But they ignore all the stuff that he did.
Redlining. That was a good idea.
Like, maybe.
I mean, you know, it was a good idea, and so you couldn't borrow if you were black. That's okay.
I don't
Bloomberg
know.
Bloomberg says he's sorry about that.
Let me ask you this, though, but Bernie Sanders has a lot of voters.
He's so dead.
I know, but they're
going to run over him yesterday's news, just like, as Barney pointed out, at the convention, right? And he just rolled over
for it.
Here's what's going to happen. So, because he was hoping, next time, and Hillary would help him if he helped her. Wrong.
Well, here's what the scene's going to look like. So you're going to have all of these very sincere Democrat delegates wandering around the floor for the first vote.
We care.
And voting for Bernie and things like that. And then all of a sudden there's going to be like this puff of smoke, fake smoke, and an elevator is going to come down, a big elevator with all the super delegates Hosanna. And then they're all going to elect
Singing,
Michael Bloomberg. Everybody
will get together. We have to beat Trump.
It'll be like the Wizard of Oz where they land on the regular delegates.
We have to beat, everybody unite to beat Trump. Bernie guys, you got screwed again.
Smushed under the stage. Sorry. But here's
can I jump in just for a second?
And you remind sure can,
you
Ben.
Guys
Go ahead.
That remind you that I believe it's Bloomberg who said that this part of the country, Colorado in particular, lacks roads. because when he would do, he was involved in the recall effort, you know, the gun.
Right. Remember,
he said, just parts of Colorado doesn't even have roads. We're kind of a backwards group out here.
Sure, true. Well, the roads suck. We got to have too much traffic.
Thanks to the Democrats.
I think in theory, we do technically have roads.
Well, but. I thought
I'd just pick at that scab there a little bit. That kind of insulting thing.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. He doesn't have to worry about that. He's got enough money. He'll just flood the place with ads, so he won't actually even come to Colorado.
I can just talk about all my Democratic funds.
Maybe he can donate.
You know, money isn't everything. Unless it's Michael Bloomberg, then money is everything. And we support him.
Well, maybe he can help with our pot hose, you know, that he can repair out here since we don't have any roads.
With the dirt, with the shovel and the dirt. That's like the Democrat Senator.
Right. He's shoveling something else, I think.
It was one of the Democrat response to the state of the
union. You're right.
All right. Well, hey, Ben, and everybody else, it's time for us to go. Thank
you. Already? We used to have 3 hours a day and really need six.
And Ben, thank you for being our guinea pig, so to speak.
Yeah,
and
you look great.
You look great at coming in on Zoom. That's fun.
I would encourage more people to do that because it is like just sitting around a kitchen table and letting everybody have a speak. That's one thing that's so important about your show. Is that you cover not only the national news, but you cover a lot of the local, like Jan Cook coming in and talking about what's happening at the state capitol. So it's very important that you continue.
Well, let me ask you this. If you could explain to folks how to do it, how did you get there?
Oh, I just went to Chuck and Julie, BBS radio. Mm-hmm. And then on the left-hand side of the screen, there is there's a small screen there. So underneath of it, it has the link. And all you got to do is click on it. It takes a few seconds to load, and then you come right up.
And then
you have the option of turning on on the lower left-hand portion of your screen. You can turn on your microphone as well as your video. So it's very easy. And more people should be seeing a lot of people up there.
That'd
around
be fun.
Yes.
We can fit a bunch of – Ben, thank you. Thanks to everybody.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We'll be back on Monday at 3 o'clock and love to hear from you. Have you join us live like Ben or any way you want to join us. Any way you want.
And again, you can catch the podcast at chuckandjulie.com. And our thanks, as always, to Doug and Don and all the folks at BBS Radio.
We love those people.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
Yeah.
Goodbye, everybody.